Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grit, a love story on 7th and Main by Elizabeth Hunter, narrated by Melissa Moran. Prologue. Carrie didn't know how she was standing, but she was. Melissa Rhodes stood across from him, all 5 feet and a few inches of tough. In the past 3 years, she lost her grandfather, buried her husband, and taken over the family ranch. All the while, she'd continued to raise her 5-year-old daughter and take care of her mother. And now she was standing in front of Carrie, doing the one thing he knew she hated more than anything, asking for help. She stood with her shoulders back, hands in her pockets, staring intently at the ground. "I don't want to ask."
"You wouldn't ask if it wasn't important."
Carrie cleared the roughness from his throat.
"What do you need?"
She blew out a hard breath and looked away. "Just advice, I guess. I have a degree. I know all this stuff on paper, but I have no margin for error. Calvin and I had been talking about this for a while. We have all the money together for the planting."
"You know you're not going to see a decent harvest for a few years, right? You need enough money to float the trees for around 5 seasons. Can the ranch carry that?"
She looked up, and he saw a flicker of the fire he thought she'd lost. Her chin rose. "I can handle it."
"Okay."
He leaned against his truck.
"I'm not gonna sugarcoat it for you. It's a hard business and the drought has been brutal. The only reason our place has held up as well as it has is that we haven't had to carry debt."
Her blue eyes were steely. "What citrus variety will give me the best return the fastest?"
"You're planting your lower acreage? The Jordan Valley side?"
"Yeah." Carrie mulled it over.
"If my dad were still living, he'd argue with me."
He stuck his hands in his pockets.
"But I think you should plant mandarins."
"Not navel oranges?" He shook his head.
"I can point you to some hardy varieties of small mandarins, and I think the market is turning hot for them. Plus, you'll get a full harvest a year sooner. How many acres?"
50 for now." He nodded. It was a decent start for a new grower, especially one who already had a ranch.
"I can give you advice, but are you sure you have time for this?"
"The ranch, I can handle the herd," she said. "Don't worry about that. I have seasonal workers, and Ox said he can help out more, too." Depending on family was tricky, but Carrie knew Ox, Melissa's brother, was solid.
"Okay."
The Oxford and Nakamura families had been neighbors for Carrie's and Melissa's entire lives. The Nakamuras grew citrus. The Oxfords raised cattle. Melissa Oxford was 12 years younger than Carrie, and as kids, they'd never been friends. They knew each other in passing at best. Nothing had prepared Carrie for the gut punch of full-grown attraction he'd experienced the first time Melissa had come back from college in Texas. She left California a leggy teenager obsessed with horses and returned a strong, stunning woman with sandy brown hair, legs for days, and a defiant smile. She was also engaged. It was just as well. Falling for the neighbor girl promised a few too many complications. But Carrie was happy to become friends with Melissa and Calvin when they moved back to the ranch in Oakville. Carrie and Calvin got close, and the latent attraction he felt for Melissa was solidly locked away. When Calvin's truck had been hit by an 18-wheeler 10 months ago, Carrie and his mom had been devastated. Calvin, Melissa, and their little girl Abby were family. Carrie's mother, Rumiko, and Melissa's mother, Joan, mourned together. Carrie had dealt with his grief by offering to help, but there was only so much he could do. Melissa was the cattlewoman. Carrie grew trees. And now she was taking 50 acres of their prime grazing land and planting citrus.
"You sure about this?"
he asked. She nodded. "Yeah, mandarins sound good. It's always been the plan to diversify."
"Okay, I'm here if you need advice. I don't know shit about cows, but I can help with the trees."
He debated asking the question, mostly because it was a sore subject for both of them.
"How you doing?"
Her daughter Abby's birthday was coming up. She shrugged. "I'm fine. Busy. Ready for Abby to start school, that's for sure." Abby was going into kindergarten, the first of many milestones Calvin wouldn't see. It hurt, and it made him angry.
"Seriously, Missy, Don't. She blinked hard. I'm fine, Carrie. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you talk to anyone?
She didn't have many friends. He didn't know if she preferred it that way or if she was too consumed with the ranch. She opened her truck door and hopped in.
I'm talking to you, aren't I?
He frowned.
I'm not sure that counts.
She slammed the truck door shut. Sure it does.
Melissa, don't. I gotta go.
She started the truck, and the engine drowned out his words. Stop hiding, he wanted to say. Let yourself grieve. Let yourself miss him. I do. He looked at her, her body worn out by hours of labor, rocking back and forth on her mother's porch with a bottle of beer propped between her knees. Her skin was pink from the sun. She'd stripped off her long-sleeved shirt and was finally relaxing in a tank top and jeans, her feet kicked up and resting on the porch rail. She was sweaty and dirty. It did nothing to detract from her beauty. Her skin glowed and her eyes were dancing. She was exhausted, but she was smiling. He hadn't seen her look so alive in months. He wanted to kiss her. He didn't. Of course he didn't. It was just a spontaneous reaction to seeing her so happy for the first time in what seemed like forever. That was all. Keep telling yourself that, idiot.
We got a lot done, Melissa said.
We did.
Tomorrow, you think?
Yeah.
He rolled his sleeves up and pushed the rocking chair back and forth with his toe.
I think by tomorrow they'll be done. You'll have some that won't take. You know that, right?
She nodded. Second season.
Maybe a few in the third. By the fourth, you should have a solid grove of pretty little mandarins.
He reached his beer bottle across and clinked the neck with hers.
Congratulations, Melissa Rhodes. You're officially a citrus grower.
Her smile lit up the night. Thanks, Carrie. For everything. 2 years later. The rain was pouring down, and she could barely see him through the sheets of water. Carrie had never been very graceful on a horse, but he was a competent enough rider that he could make it over the hills.
How'd you find me? She yelled.
Og said you'd be out here.
He slid off her mother's gelding PJ.
I followed the fence.
Do you have a...
She saw the post hole digger strapped to the side of the horse.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to have to ride back.
He waded through the mud to get to her.
You can't use the old hole?
The water washed too much of it away. I'll never be able to secure a new post in this storm, and the herd has already tried to break through and go down the hill.
He squinted through the rain.
And we're not letting them because...
More flooding in the lower pastures, and I don't want them crossing the creek, too many calves. Believe it or not, this is the driest place on the ranch. They've got tree cover here.
The cattle were huddled under the low oaks that spread across the hills of the upper pasture and Christie Meadow. Unfortunately, the storm had already damaged one of the posts securing the fence that kept them away from a muddy road that crossed a rushing creek. Melissa had thought she was going to have to repair it herself when Ox told her he was stuck in town with a client. She had no idea he'd called Carrie.
Tell me what to do, he said. I've never done this, but I'm good at following directions.
If there was one thing she loved about Carrie, it was his lack of ego. The man was incredibly competent in many, many things. But he had no problem admitting when he didn't know something and he didn't get his ego bent out of shape. As she shouted directions at him, they managed to repair the fence well enough to last through the storm.
That's good.
She rolled a rock over to prop the new post up.
Can you?
She pointed to another large rock on the other side.
Got it.
He bent over, his shirt plastered to his torso, and rolled the basketball-sized granite stone over to brace the new post. As his shoulders flexed, Melissa felt a stirring in her belly.
What?
She hadn't felt that in a while. Years.
Just this one?
Carrie grunted as he rolled the rock.
Yeah, one should be enough.
His hair was coming loose from the low ponytail where he'd secured it. Wet strands stuck to the defined line of his jaw and brushed the strong cord of muscle in his neck. Melissa swallowed the lump in her throat and forced a rise from his arms as he rose. He must have caught her stare, because he frowned.
What?
Oh, God. How embarrassing.
Nothing. Thanks. I'm surprised we got that done so quickly.
Carrie smiled.
We're a good team.
His smile was a little crooked. Had it always been that way?
He turned and reached for the post hole digger, then tied it to PJ's saddle.
Her eyes fell to his ass, which was framed by a pair of wet Wranglers. Melissa forced her eyes away. What was wrong with her? She wasn't a 15-year-old girl anymore. This was Carrie, her neighbor, her friend. Stop checking out his ass, Melissa.
Once she'd noticed it, she couldn't stop looking. Had he always had that sexy line from his shoulders to his hips? She'd always thought of him as stocky, but he wasn't. His shoulders were just really broad.
After we get the horses put up.
She blinked.
What?
You feeling okay?
He frowned.
We should get you back to the ranch.
I'm fine. She took the roll of barbed wire and walked across the road to the rundown wagon that served as a storage spot. She carefully placed the wire under the old green tarp covering the wagon and walked back to the horses.
Carrie was waiting for her. His eyes narrowed.
What? She asked. Do you want to leave the post hole digger here?
Do you need it back at the ranch?
She shrugged, trying to be casual and not look at his jaw. Or his hair, the thick black and silver falling across his cheek. Why the fuck was she suddenly noticing all the attractive things about Carrie?
We might need it. I can carry it.
No big deal. It's already on my saddle.
Okay.
Okay.
Was it her imagination? Or did he look her up and down? Was that a look? Or was he wondering if there was something wrong with her?
Oh, God, this is not okay.
Melissa mounted her mare, Moxie, and nudged her down the muddy road. She wasn't in high school anymore. She wasn't even in college anymore. She was a 31-year-old widow and mother of a 7-year-old who still believed in dragons and had a goat obsession. The kid did. Not Melissa. She had a ranch she could barely handle and a new grove of mandarin trees that was eating up all her savings. She did not have time to notice that Carrie Nakamura was sexy as hell. Not now, not ever.
3 years later.
Missy?
She was at the hospital. She hated the hospital. Disinfectant stung her nose, reminding her of death. Calvin's death, her grandfather's death, her own traumatic miscarriage. Melissa's eyes scanned the room and she saw him. He was standing. He wasn't on a gurney. Thank you, God. Her knees nearly gave out with relief. Wait. There was blood all over his shirt. Why was there blood? Carrie? Her pulse was pounding. Adrenaline coursed through her. Why are you covered in blood? What happened? Why didn't you call me?
Jeremy is the one who got hurt. He has a compound fracture in his right arm. That's why there's blood.
The rest of his words washed over her. Jeremy. His rock-climbing partner had been hurt, not him. You're fine? The blood?
Not mine.
Not his. He was fine. He was whole and healthy. She saw his golden-brown arms held out to her, swirling ink covering his skin. Drying blood stained his shirt, but his arms were the same. Strong arms. Steady shoulders. Strong hands. She couldn't stop the tears. She covered her face. Oh, my God. Not his blood. It wasn't his blood.
Missy?
No. Don't call me that. Don't make me soft. If I give you an inch, I'll fall apart. She couldn't face him. She turned and shot out the door. Once she was in the fresh air, she lifted her chin, took a deep breath, and tried to stop the tears. Get it together, Melissa. What was Carrie going to think of her? He probably thought she was an emotional wreck, or insane, maybe insane, and maybe hung up on him. She didn't have time to be hung up on anyone. Melissa's legs ate up the sidewalk, heading to the parking garage across from the hospital in Metlin.
Melissa!
Shit. He was taller than her by at least 6 inches. His legs were longer, and he was strong, so damn strong. He'd be able to catch up unless she ran, and she was not going to run. She stopped and turned, wiping the back of her hand across her eyes.
What?
He nearly ran into her.
You thought I was hurt?
Ox didn't give me details on the phone. He just called and said that you and Jeremy were in a climbing accident. I jumped in the truck and...
I'm sorry.
Not your fault. She cleared her throat. Is Jeremy going to be okay?
Yeah, he'll be okay. Just banged up, and he has to have surgery to sort his arm out.
Carrie edged closer and his eyes narrowed.
You thought I was hurt.
Don't. Her heart started to race again, this time for other reasons. Climbing accidents can be bad, and
you thought I was hurt.
His dark eyes burned into her.
And you drove straight into town.
Yes. Turn and walk away. Just turn and walk.
You drove 30 miles into town and straight to the hospital because you thought I was hurt.
Don't do this. She clenched her jaw. Carrie.
No. I'm going to do this because that is not the reaction of a woman who told me... What was it? We're friends, Carrie. Don't let yourself get confused. Is that what this is?
He reached for her arm.
You feeling a little confused, Missy?
She could smell him now, past the scent of hospital disinfectant. The warm, sweet scent of orange blossoms he carried on his skin mixed with pine from the mountains. His strong fingers encircled her wrist. He stepped closer and hooked a finger through her belt loop. His chest was broad, his shoulders solid muscle. She had to fight the urge to lay her head over his heart. She wanted to hear it beat, wanted the simple reassurance of his body pressed to hers. His breath tickled the hair at her temple.
Talk to me.
She shook her head.
Then tell me to leave you alone.
I can't. Her mind was a jumble of relief and gratitude and need, but she didn't want him to let go.
Missy, look at me.
Don't. She looked up, but his lips stopped any retort she might have mustered. Oh, fuck it. Reaching up, she grabbed the thick hair that fell to his shoulders and gave in to years of temptation. She reached behind his neck and gripped. She slid her knee between his and pressed her body into his. He tasted so good. His hand moved from her wrist to grab the small of her back. His fingers curled and dug in. His grip was so tight, it would probably leave marks. So good. Damn. Carrie was an excellent kisser. Way better than she'd ever imagined. It had been 6 years since she'd kissed anyone, and she didn't even think about fumbling. His mouth was too demanding, his lips were too sure. For a few sweet seconds, all Melissa thought about was the taste of Carrie Nakamura's mouth, the warmth of his hands, and how his chest was just as solid as she'd dreamed. Oh, shit. I'm standing on a sidewalk in Metlin. Melissa broke the kiss and stepped back. We can't do this.
Fuck that, he growled. We already are.
She shook her head.
Stop lying to yourself, he said. What are you so damn afraid of?
Afraid? A bitter laugh burst from her. Oh, you have no idea. She turned and started walking back to her car.
Fine, he yelled. Walk away. But don't pretend like this is finished, because it's not.
You idiot. This never even had a chance to start.
I know what you're thinking, Melissa Rhodes, and you're wrong.
She didn't have time to argue with him. Melissa kept walking. She didn't have time to kiss a man on the sidewalk. She didn't have time to dream about a sweeter life. She didn't have time for Carrie. Chapter 1 Melissa's eyes were trained on her daughter as Abby waited patiently through the song. She was 10 now. She wanted to pretend she was too cool for birthday songs and candles, but the glow of excitement didn't lie. Happy birthday, dear Abby. There were 5 10-year-old girls singing in Melissa's kitchen along with her mom, Joan, Calvin's parents, Greg and Beverly, her brother, Ox, and his girlfriend, Emmy, and Carrie Nakamura and his mom, Rumi. For the small dining room at the ranch in Oakville, it was a full house. Happy birthday to you. Abigail Caroline Rhodes, 10-year-old cowgirl, goat rancher, avid reader, and light of Melissa's life, leaned over and blew out the candles on her birthday cake.
The party of family and friends erupted in applause, and Joan reached over to lift the birthday cake out of the way. Abby shot her mom a brilliant smile and shouted, "I'm officially double digits! Can we go out now?" That was her girl. Inside was for sleeping, outside was for living. Melissa grinned. After the cake, did you girls bring helmets?
Yes, Miss Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
I brought mine.
Horse riding would happen, but only with helmets.
Okay, Melissa said. Cake first, then horses.
The girls squealed in that particularly ear-splitting way that 10-year-old girls squealed. Melissa tried not to grimace. After all, her ears would survive, and she loved watching Abby with her friends.
One more birthday you missed, babe.
Melissa sent a thought up to Calvin.
You watching?
It had been nearly 6 years since Calvin died. 6 birthdays, 6 Christmases, 6 empty Father's Days. Abby was 10 now. Calvin had missed more of her birthdays than he'd witnessed. The first few years, Melissa had felt Calvin more clearly at those milestones. She felt like he was close, that he was there somehow. But the past few birthdays, his presence had faded. She felt more distant from him on those days, not closer.
Okay, birthday girl first.
Melissa's mom, a permanent ray of sunshine, handed Abby a generous slice of carrot cake she'd baked that morning. It was Abby's favorite.
Just like Calvin.
Beverly sidled close to Melissa, who was standing at the back wall of the dining room.
He loved carrot cake.
Melissa smiled.
He did.
She looks more like him every day.
Melissa kept her eyes trained on her daughter. The chubby cheeks and ponytails of childhood were fading away. Abby was stretching up, her eyes hinting at secrets and inside jokes with her friends. She whispered on the phone about girlhood dramas, horses, and boys in bands.
She looks like herself, Melissa murmured. But yeah, there's a lot of her daddy there.
Carrie caught her eye from across the room. He was standing next to Wax, but he was keeping his eyes on Melissa and Beverly. Melissa gave him an almost imperceptible shake of the head. Carrie and Calvin had been friends. He knew better than most how much tension lived between Melissa and her in-laws, and how much tension was between Carrie and Melissa. She was pointedly ignoring any and all memory of their kiss outside the hospital months before. It had been a moment of madness, a reaction to stress. It was a relief kiss, a super glad you're not dead kiss. She and Carrie were friends, good friends. That was all.
Melissa Rhodes, you are a big fat liar.
Beverly broke into her mental accusations. Have you thought any more about our offer? Melissa forced a polite smile.
Bev, it's so generous, but you know this is my family home.
Calvin wanted to settle here, and so do I. Abby and I are very happy.
She'll be going to middle school soon, Beverly said. The schools on the coast are better than the schools here. We'd pay the full tuition for her to attend St. Anne's.
The offer sounded kind on the surface, but this wasn't about generosity. It never was with Calvin's parents. It was about control.
This is our home, Melissa maintained the polite smile. But thank you so much.
We built the house for you and Abby. I wish you'd reconsider.
You built the house for me and Calvin as soon as he told you we'd be living here. He didn't want it, and you know exactly why.
Melissa put her arm around Beverly's shoulders and gave her a one-arm tug, even as her mother-in-law stiffened up. If we ever need it, we know it's there. But Abby is happy here. She goes to a good school and has wonderful friends. And she has run of the entire ranch. I know that's what Calvin wanted for her.
Melissa knew she had to frame things exactly right, or her mother-in-law would leave in a huff.
You know, that was probably the thing Calvin talked about most often, riding his horse around the ranch growing up, watching the men work, watching Greg work, exploring with the dogs.
She felt Beverly soften at the memory of Calvin's childhood.
Abby has that here, Bev, and I promise we'll try to visit more. You know you're always welcome here, anytime.
Beverly was silent, but Melissa knew she'd held off the argument for another day. It was the best she could manage. They'd paid attention when Calvin told them he wanted to live in Oakville, but they acted like Melissa didn't know her own mind, even after 6 years on her own. She shifted gears.
Did I tell you I'm planning to convert the old bunkhouse into a holiday cottage? Once it's done, you and Greg could stay on the ranch when you visit, instead of at the hotel in Mettlin.
Beverly's eyes went wide.
A guest house?
Yeah, for guests and for some tourists. My friends who have converted old outbuildings into rooms can always rent them out to people visiting the national park. It's a nice side income.
Bev's face was frozen, and it wasn't just from the Botox.
Her blue eyes blinked over and over.
You're going to have strangers in your home?
Not in my home, in the old bunkhouse, after we converted.
Melissa tried not to get frustrated.
I think it'll be cool. We'll meet people from all over. Strangers from all over? What kind of people would rent a bunkhouse from strangers?
Her pale face turned even paler.
What about security, Melissa?
You think I don't know how to take care of my family?
Melissa withdrew her arm.
Don't worry, Bev. I have a shotgun and really good aim. I would hope so.
Melissa bit her tongue and caught Carrie watching her again. His eyes were narrowed. She shook her head again.
Don't get started.
She could read his eyes even though he didn't say a word.
Fine. For now.
Carrie crossed his arms and watched them. It wouldn't be the first time Carrie and the Rhodes family had fought. The first time had been at Calvin's funeral when Greg and Beverly tried to hustle a grief-stricken and confused Melissa and Abby into a car to take them to their opulent house in Paso Robles. Melissa had been so exhausted she barely understood what was happening. But Carrie, Ox, and Greg had almost come to blows.
Mom, Uncle Ox said he can take us outside.
Abby was hastily braiding her wavy brown hair.
Is that cool? Can he take us out to ride? We'll just be in the pasture. I can saddle Moxie and PJ.
Her big brown eyes pleaded with Melissa.
Do we need to clean up the dishes, or...
Don't be ridiculous, Calvin's father, Greg, broke in. You shouldn't be washing dishes.
Abby looked between Melissa and her grandfather, unsure of whether she'd been given permission or not.
Thanks for asking, baby, Melissa smiled.
But it's your birthday. Grandma and I will take care of the dishes. You go out with Uncle Ox.
Carrie stood up.
I can help, too.
Thanks.
Before you skip out on us,
Greg raised his voice to attract everyone's attention.
I think Abby has a present from her grandmother and me to open.
Melissa could feel Beverly vibrating next to her.
Oh, boy. A present from the Rhodes grandparents was bound to put anything Melissa gave Abby to shame.
She learned not to let it bother her. Greg and Beverly gave Abby extravagant presents. Melissa gave her everything else.
What is it?
Abby was nearly jumping.
There's an envelope there with your name on it,
Greg nodded to a vase of flowers they'd brought.
Why don't you open it up?
Dear Lord, it wasn't even in a box. What was it this time? A trip to Europe? An iPhone? A car she couldn't drive for another 6 years? Abby opened the envelope and pulled out a picture. Her mouth dropped open and her eyes grew to the size of saucers.
Is it? He's yours, Beverly said.
That's Sunday picnic. He's 16 hands, 7 years old, and he's on his way from Kentucky right now.
Abby ran over and hugged Greg.
Are you serious?
Of course.
Seriously serious?
Greg chuckled and patted her back.
Seriously serious, princess. We figured you were ready for a step up from ranch horses. You're an excellent rider, Abby. I know you'll do us proud.
Melissa ignored the slight about ranch horses and focused on her daughter's excitement.
Mom!
Abby's face was glowing.
Did you see?
She held up the picture.
I did. He's beautiful, baby.
Melissa plastered a smile on her face.
If you keep making that face, it's going to get stuck like that. Kind of like Bev with the Botox.
Abby ran to Carrie's mom, a tiny elderly Japanese woman who was like another grandmother.
Nana Rumi, look at my new horse.
He is beautiful.
Rumi's eyes were wide.
But so tall. Are you big enough to ride him, Abby?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?